Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, listeners of the Filipino podcasting machine, Prince D. And with me, as always, the man also known as Timbo Slice, Timmy B. Before we get started, please remember to follow, like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. Whatever you get your pods on, just search for Fight Insight Podcast. On today's podcast, we will talk to a Muay Thai practitioner and registered massage therapist who will discuss his life in martial arts and the benefits and importance of massage. We will discuss UFC Gane versus Volkov, pick our fights for a fight on site, and a whole lot more. Timmy, hit it.
Yes, Timmy B. Prince D. Fight in sight. Yeah.
All right, our guest today has been training in martial arts for over 11 years with a background in Taekwondo and Muay Thai. He's trained overseas in both the Philippines and Thailand. He's the father of Avery, a future Jabberwocky, and has trained both Prince and I at our gym P4P. No longer content with just beating people up, he decided to turn to healing, becoming a registered massage therapist. And for 3 years now, he's been the owner and operator of Mode of Operation Therapy in Markham, Ontario. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our best friend and one of the baddest men on the planet, Dylan De La Cruz.
What's up?
Look at the super pogey over there. Yo, who wrote the intro?
That was a great intro.
That was you, Timmy?
Yeah, man.
Sick, man. Avery, future Jabberwocky. That is 100% true.
Yeah? We could have a whole podcast just talking about how handsome your son is.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. One of the cutest kids ever. Man, your Instagram is full of it.
Yeah, right. So many people message me. They're like, "Do you use your kid to like pick people up?" I'm like, "No, man. Like, what's wrong with you?"
But Avery's feisty too, eh? Like, he can get he can get really pissed. Well, he can get pissed off. Like, you could actually just see him just go off, and you're like, "Whoa!" You can actually see the aggression when he's throwing some of those kicks. I'm like, "Whoa!" I can see a little bit of Dylan in there, right?
So, yeah, man. I brought him to the gym with me, yeah. And he's been like, he'll like hit the bag. He's like, "Daddy, I want to hit the bag." And like, he'll try and copy me, and he'll grunt when he kicks and punches and stuff like that. Yeah.
His training looks like it's going well, man. He is definitely going to be a force to be reckoned with. Dylan, obviously for the people on the podcast, like, we've known Dylan for a long time. He's a great guy. So we're really excited to have him here today. He's coming to us both as a martial artist and an instructor, but also as a registered massage therapist. So we'll kind of touch on both things. But Dylan, to start off, what is your background in martial arts, and what's your kind of whole thing around martial arts?
So my background in martial arts, I first started when I was, I believe, in grade 6. So I used to go to a place called Luke's Taekwondo in Markham. They're on Bullock, where they were on Bullock, and then they moved to a bigger location on Bullock. But the reason why my parents put me in Taekwondo was because I was big. I was pretty heavy. I was a heavy kid. So when I went to Taekwondo, it was something that I liked, and I actually lost a lot of weight. So Taekwondo helped me transition into Muay Thai. And that was like the biggest thing for me. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's how pretty much I did. Yeah.
And so it's funny because a lot of the people that we have on here that are that come on as guests talk about that and how they came on because of like trying to lose weight and trying to be healthier. So,
yeah, my first Taekwondo class, like when you walk in, there's a wall with a giant window and then you start off and the warm up is like, I don't know if you guys ever done like Taekwondo as a kid, but you run in a circle and they have you doing a bunch of drills. Yeah. And my first class, I literally stopped in the corner and I yacked all over the mats, like puked all over the mats.
My
brothers would always make fun of me for it. My cousins, I like anything when I was a kid. And if I did anything that like would really exert myself, I would puke. But I was like a big kid and I was athletic. So like I ran the 200 meter. I was like a big boy running on the track.
Well, Dylan, listen, man, when I first started Muay Thai and I did the first strength and conditioning class, I don't yak. For me, I just like sweat excessively. Like, I came out of that class, I came home and person goes, "You went swimming?" I'm like, the pool's open already? I thought that was closed. I'm like, I went to Muay Thai class. Oh my gosh, shower, big boy. Shower now.
I remember when you first came for your class, you were sweating. I was like, yo, Prince, take off your sweater. I think you took your shirt off. And I was like, Prince, you're so hairy. Are you still wearing a sweater right now?
So
you came back and shaved your chest.
I did.
out of shame. So you start in Taekwondo. How did you transition into Muay Thai, and how did that take you like around the world training?
So from Taekwondo, actually, I went all the way up to red belt, which is a belt away from black. And then like where I was at, I kind of like, I guess I just kind of like stopped progressing. And then I actually went to Pound for Pound Pickering when I was, it must have been like 2009. And that's when I first started Muay Thai. That was my first class of Muay Thai. And I was training over there, and I would go there. Like actually that first class I was dead. So that was the first time I ever did Muay Thai. But it was like an easy transition for kicks and punching and stuff like that, because I had the foundation from Taekwondo. And then from there, I trained there. And then actually my brother opened up Pound for Pound Markham. And from there is when pretty much it blossomed for me, because it was at that point I was just kind of like really in the family, right? So
yeah.
I was training every day. I was teaching. If I wasn't teaching, I was just in the gym hanging out. Like you guys have been here. It's like a really like fun family and friends like environment, right? So that was really how like I guess it just came toward to me more so than me kind of trying to stay in martial arts. Like it was always just in my life. And you know how sometimes you fall off? Like it was hard for me to fall off, because like I would just come to the gym, and you know, even if you wouldn't train 100%, you train 50%, but you just did a workout, like it was constantly always there. So that's pretty much how even right now I'm still in it.
So when did you start competing though? Because by the time I met you, you were already like a champ. Like you were already competing, you were already at that level. So when did you start competing? Was it in Taekwondo or when you got to Muay Thai?
When I got to Muay Thai. So I had my first competition in Muay Thai in 2000, and it had to be in 2010 or 11. I hadn't been training that long. And in my first fight, so I didn't know what to expect. I came in for my fight, and like I was in Markham, I was pretty much one of the only guys who was training as consistently, because it was just like a small group of guys at that time when we first started. And I fought somebody from Pound for Pound Pickering. And he was like, I was probably like 18. This guy was like mid 30s, like full out beard, hair on his chest. Like he came in, like his whole family was here. Like you could tell like this guy like really meant business. Like it was supposed to be an in-house. It was supposed to be an in-house actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So he came, and like from the first round, he was just going ham on me. And when you go into an in-house, it just depends on like who your opponent is, if they're going to go light or if they're going to go heavy. Right. And this guy was just going ham in the first round. So then I didn't know what to expect. And then in the second round, my brother was like, Justin was like, turn it up. And I was like, okay. So I threw a jab, lead hook, and then I dipped my head and I just threw a right hook right over and I knocked him out.
No
I knocked him out. Yeah, I knocked him out. I have it on my BlackBerry. I don't know if I can still get it, but I knocked him out. And I knocked him out in front of like his family and his kids, and everybody in the gym was like dead silent. I look into the crowd, and it's just two of my best friends are like standing up and like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God.
And Dylan, that guy's kids are like, Dad, I wasn't, no,
Papa,
no.
After that, I felt, even to this day, like some people will be like, Dylan, like, are you going to like compete? Like, are you going to fight again? Cause they see like when I post that I'm training, I'm like, I don't know, man. Like I believe in karma. And I'm just like, if I fought in front of Avery and I got knocked out in front of Avery, like I don't know what to do. Right. So like, that's one, like I always say, like, I don't know if I would fight cause I'm a dad now.
that's funny because we see so many people in the UFC come back after having children, right? Like Mackenzie Dern and, you know, Angela Angela Lee over in ONE. She's training now, coming back off her pregnancy. Nina Ansarov, right? Misha Tate is coming back after two kids. It's always funny. Like, you always wonder, like, how's that going to affect them? And how's that going to be? Conor McGregor has, in my opinion, never been the same since he had his kids, right?
Yeah, became, I agree.
Almost became different, so.
I agree.
But how about Amanda?
Yes.
Yeah. Amanda News, like, she came out and she's like, coming out of retirement and completely destroys. I can't remember who she fought again. When she came back out,
Megan Anderson, was it?
One of the last ones. Yeah. And I think she took a little time off and then fought Chris Cyborg, right? Yeah. And then look what happened there. So, but yeah, actually, I wanted to say, because Dylan, one of the first competitions I went to, P4P, you were there, you were competing, and there was a fight that you had. It was, you were training for, I know, I remember you were training for this fight because it was one of the first training camps that you had where you freaking got shredded. Yeah. Remember that time you got guys got like abs? I'm like, what would you get that? Was that on sale on Costco? He's like, yeah, $2.45. Right?
Yeah, no.
And then that fight, I'll never forget, because I was like right beside him. We were so hyped because, you know, it was our first time ever seeing one of our boys get up there and compete. And Dylan actually went in there. I'll never forget what you did. So you went up, you faked the swing kick, and you sweeped them. My gosh, man. Yeah. I think Brandon beside me spilled beer all over. He was like, oh my gosh.
That was
like,
a crazy night. That was a crazy night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, when it comes down to fighting, and depending on like when you have a kid or you kind of like are coming back, and if you're a UFC fighter, I think like you're either coming back to feed your family or you're coming back because you really love the sport. And it depends on, you know, what's kind of like fueling you. So whoever is coming back at that time and they just had a child, like some of them are like super hungry because they need to obviously put food on the table, right? Yeah. And then some of them are just like Conor McGregor. I think like he's just like a natural competitor. Like he just wants to compete. Like he's not like, he actually loves to fight. Even if he loses or not, like you see when he loses, he's kind of like really graceful with it. But
when you're getting paid like $20 million to lose, I'm sure
it
takes the sting off a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about like the gym and how, you know, especially P4P is like really a family oriented gym and stuff like that. But for people that maybe aren't into martial arts as much, what should they be looking for? And you've got a child. So like, obviously when Avery grows up and you would have been looking for a martial arts gym for him. Obviously, we know where he's going, but for people that have children and need to look for a place, like what should they be looking for in a gym? A lot of people always ask me that, and I know what I say, but what would you say?
I think when you look at a gym, you look at somewhere where you would want to train yourself, right? Like you put yourself in an environment where you'd want to, I guess, put yourself into. So if you're going somewhere, like you want to see that the instructors are kind of like passionate, that they actually like kids, that they actually care about kids, that they actually care about their well-being. And it's not somewhere where you're coming just to kind of learn this, like how to fight or like how to throw a punch, how to throw a knee, how to throw a kick. It's like you're going somewhere where these people actually kind of care about your well-being. And I think that's like a huge part of pound for pound, because when you come here, like you really do kind of feel like you do feel that like family vibe, right? Like everyone knows everybody, like whether you're like a little kid or you're like older, like not to name any names, but like, you know, like you have like a kid like Stefan who's like you've seen growing up from such a young age, you know, and now you see him like training in the adult class, like sometimes those, like it's crazy, and it has like, it speaks for itself in terms of what kind of gym pound for pound is. And I'm not here to like obviously boost pound for pound, but that is something that I definitely would look at, as someone who's like passionate about the martial art and kind of really cares about kids, like and not just like kind of just trying to get a money grab and sign somebody up for a year and take $150 every month, like that. Yeah. That's one big thing I definitely would say.
Yeah. Well, I wish you said that to Sean, because when I first showed up to P4P, I was like, and there was no one's there. It was like an open mat. Nobody was. I just came in. I'm like, hey, can I just try out the gym? He's like, are you gonna sign up? I'm like,
Sean's my brother. For everyone listening who doesn't know, Sean's my brother.
So Sean, and the thing is that like Sean and Dylan are like, are not your typical Filipinos. They're 6 foot and they're tall. And Sean, yeah. I literally looked at me. He's like, are you going to train? Are you going to sign up? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to try it out first. Sign up. And I'm like, oh.
If you saw my brother, like his shoulders are so broad. He's like staring down at you. Like, yeah. But he's like the biggest teddy bear. He's like, yeah. You, at first glance, you're like, this guy looks like he's like here to take my ID and see if I'm over 21. You know what I mean? But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right, Dylan. I mean, the big thing, and we've all the people that we talked to, like, I think I go back to like when we interviewed Bam Bam Barbarena, he was talking about his gym and where he trains, and then now he's moved over to Gymo. He talks about like it's that whole family environment, it's that whole, you know, community vibe, that once you find that vibe and you feel where people care about you and care about you, not just about, like you said, like not just about taking your money, but about helping you become not just a better martial artist, but just a better person. Right?
Yeah.
Like, where they take that vested interest. And you can see that right away. You walk into a gym and you can see if the people are coming into class and leaving class, chatting with the other people, being mm-hmm. friendly, people care about things outside of just what did we do in class today. That's when you know you found a good place.
Yeah. I'll say one thing. Like when you show up to an event, like whether it's like MTO or it's some like a IBJJF, like IBBF, like tournament for jits, like anything, like you can tell the type of gym it is when you see like in the stands and there's like a huge community cheering for like your team or whoever, like whoever's competing. I think that's when like you can tell at first glance, like okay, these guys really have like a good community, like these guys actually really care about each other. So like yeah that's definitely huge.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So let's switch over a little bit from your fighting to your now career as a massage therapist. So mm-hmm. now, and you're at your clinic now in Markham. It's Motive Operation Therapy. We'll put all the links to everything in our YouTube comments so people can find you, follow you and all that. But how did that all happen? Like what was your transition into massage and what inspired you to do that?
So I always wanted to get into some field in healthcare. Like actually when I graduated from high school, I took a year off and I was just training and competing, and then I actually went back to school for nursing, and I did a year, and during that time I didn't really like it. Like I didn't really like it, and then after that my dad had passed away during that year, and from then I was kind of just like I was just at the gym. I was just a gym rat. Like I was training all the time, I was teaching, I was literally just always at the gym, and I was kind of thinking of going into become an osteopath. But then from there, I trained from then until 2015, and I was just competing. And then after my last fight, I fought in Waterloo. And after that, I went to go train. I trained when I was training in Thailand and the Philippines. So when I was training in Thailand, like, I guess everything you would see, like you run 5K in the morning, you come back, you skip, and then you do your bag work, and then you hit your pads, and then you clinch or spar. And then at the gym I was always clinching. So after that, like I would do that, and then you rent a bike, you go to the beach, you kind of do whatever you want, and then after you eat, and then you come back in the afternoon or evening, and then you do it again. And during that time, after when I was training for my last training camp, I actually got injured. I was clinching with Chris Williams from MMA, and I went to go throw a knee, and I think he threw a knee at the same time, and he hit me right on my patellar tendon. Okay. And right before my fight, and I couldn't put any pressure on my knee like for like 2 weeks before my fight. I hadn't thrown a kick or anything, but when I was in Thailand, I was doing that regimen. And after every training session at the end of the day, I would go get a Thai massage and just for recovery. And obviously in Thailand, right? Like our dollar is so high, I could do that pretty consistently. And then when I was there, like I was, you know, training against like everyone, like people from around the world, like people in the States, people in like the UK, like everywhere. And like, you kind of see where you're at.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I was kind of just like, I don't, think I've had like a couple concussions from training and fighting and stuff. I was like, I don't know if like becoming pro was the right thing for me. And I think I kind of want to go back to school. And when I got back, my friend was in RMT school, and I messaged him. I was like, yo, where is this place at? I want to come check it out. And I went to go check it out. And then the same day that I was there, I actually registered myself.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just like, I think this is it for me. Like I kind of, it was a private college, and I was like, let me try this out. Right. Like, let me just try and do this. It's going to be like a faster program, and I can kind of just get right into, what I want to, and kind of still be in my field, help athletes and work in kind of that same environment. And that was my whole mentality.
That's right. Awesome. After.
Yeah.
And here people, I am. Yeah. It's crazy. And for people that don't know, your clinic is connected to your gym. So,
yeah.
Right. Like people are able to see it. There's that obvious connection between the two, mm-hmm. but for people that don't know, I mean, massage therapy is good for rehab and things like that, but there's lots of other benefits to massage or the services that you provide, right? You do cupping. Right.
Yeah, I do cupping. And I think the biggest thing that I do in terms of what makes me different from other RMTs is I take the approach of really trying to do a lot of like movement therapy.
Yeah.
So it's not kind of just you come in and you get a soft tissue treatment and then you leave. Like I really go into depth with like doing a postural assessment and then a functional assessment, trying to like locate the root cause of why you're injured, not just kind of like working the surface area and then kind of just letting you go home and coming back in like a week or two, right? I take more of an active approach, and I try to explain to clients why it's so important, whether you're a Muay Thai fighter or, you know, you're a basketball player, like, or you're just a desk worker. Like it is very important to stay active, right? Like,
yeah.
Once you stop using it, you lose it, right? And it goes for everything. Once you stop moving your body in specific positions, and then you go back into that position, that now it's compromised, right? Like you're sitting at a desk and you're hunched over all the time, and you kind of don't get that extension in there. And then you go to do a layup for the first time in a while, or you go to throw a punch and you hurt your back. You know, your weekend warrior type thing, but. That's actually what I've seen actually the most right now with the COVID.
So that's the thing I was going to say, because Dylan, and you know, we don't just have Dylan on because we know him, but like I've gone to him for massage. He helped me a lot with like my mm-hmm. back problems and stuff when I had, but I'll tell you, Dylan, after this quarantine stuff and me working at home, and I'm not going to lie, for a lot of the time I was like sitting with bad posture, maybe sitting on my bed. You know, but like I could feel my neck getting bad. I could feel everything. And I had taken a long hiatus from working out during that time because things were so crazy. Yeah. And I know like there's obvious benefits for everybody out there listening to this podcast. There's benefits of going seeking someone out like Dylan, or just go to Dylan and look to get like some treatment, right? Because obviously the body, the posture and all those things, the muscles. And we see that on your Instagram. You always have people doing movement type exercise, right? You always see them doing their movement and things like that. So
right,
people can really benefit from that, right? Like it's not just about recovery.
Not just about recovery, yeah. Actually,
I'll tell you my testimonial. I'll let you guys know, because I mean, Dylan's actually treated me once. And you know what? In my case, it was a very special case, actually, in particular, just because when he was doing the injury that I had, it was a shoulder injury. The extra barrier that he had to get through was the extra layer of hair that was located on my back. And so literally, like, he would actually have to, like, dip his whole hand into my body just to get even into the upper layer of my skin, just because of the layer of hair that was around it. But you know what? That's, I gotta say, but Dylan, after that, it felt so good. And like you said, you really focus on the movement. Like after that, we actually went down into the gym floor and showed some of the movement exercises. And I go, Dylan, let me show you how much I bench. It's like, Prince, that has nothing to do with your shoulder injury. I just want to show you how much I can bench right now. And I showed him 245 and he's like, wow, Prince. 245.
Wow, 245. And you're not even lying on the bench yet, Prince? Like, you're just bench pressing air right now?
Yeah, that's it. Just 245, baby.
If you've seen 40-year-old Virgin when he's getting his chest waxed, that was Prince right there.
So what is the surcharge for someone that comes in that is that hairy? Like, what do you charge extra to deal with that, Dylan?
I just give him a broom. And he just has to get all the hair on the side of the table that falls on the ground. He's got to sweep it up. And that's the surcharge.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I'd walk out and Dylan be like, bye, Prince. And he'd be like, how did that even get into my mouth? I didn't even touch my lips. And you're like, you're welcome. That was a tip.
Yeah. I'll walk around. Yeah. No, honestly, it's good. No, but I treat a lot of people who are hairy, and it is what it is. Like, it's just like you work with it rather than work around it. You work with it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, this is what the great thing about Fight Inside Podcast. I mean, we, you know, besides all the like the nice things about RMT and motion circulation, we talk about real things like hairy people.
Right? Get real with them. Get real with them.
Get real with it.
We're going to get a whole new audience out of this.
Yeah.
Dylan, before we move on to the rest of our show, I did want to ask you, we have some fan questions that came in. So we always want to kind of end with that with some. So I'm going to hit you with the hardest one first. MossFit.training asks, how did you get so good looking?
Guys, if I told you... I'd have to kill you. You know what I mean?
It's a tough one.
It's a lot of McDonald's oil grease off the fries, and I just get like a double fish fillet, mm-hmm. and I squeeze it like this, and I let the oil drip, and I let it just kind of soak into my pores.
That's it. It
has to be a double fish fillet though. If it's just a regular fish fillet, like it's not going to work.
Because it's high in vitamins F, A, and D.
All right, let's get to some real questions. Aesthetic_academy_PT asks, what's the best way to deal with leg contusions after sparring or a fight when you can't move your leg due to like leg kicks and stuff like that?
Yeah, so leg contusions, that's actually, I had a case for somebody who had a really bad leg contusions from taking a lot of leg kicks. It was this guy from old school Muay Thai in Toronto. Okay. I used to go over there and treat them. And then, so what happens when you take a contusion to the leg, blood kind of builds up in one spot. And depending on if like you build up tolerance to like, usually your front leg, you can take a lot of kicks. And then your back leg, usually if you take one kick to your back leg, it'll usually like kind of seize up. But what you can do usually is isometrics within the range of motion that you have. So like if this is like your knee and then this is your foot and you can only bend like this, you'd essentially want to push in that range of motion and contract in that range of motion, if that makes any sense. And that would be an isometric. Right.
Okay.
A concentric would be if you're doing like a leg quad extension and you're on those machines and it's resting on your foot and you're doing this. That's a concentric motion when you're pushing up. Right. And instead of pushing up, you would just push and you would try to gain strength back in the range of motion that you do have. And then in terms of like self recovery, you always want to treat above the site that is damaged, never below. Right? Because if you're looking at like a highway and there's a contusion here or there's like a car accident here, you wouldn't want to push here, right? You'd want to push here. And you're always pushing towards the heart first and then going lower, if that makes kind of any sense. I don't know if that diagram helps at all, but that's how in terms of leg contusions. And then in terms of building tolerance for leg contusions, you essentially just kind of body condition, right? You just kind of keep taking leg kicks. And a lot of people, if they're not checking, they take it off their front leg. And what a lot of people don't actually train is their back leg. So not to go into too much, but I actually helped this guy train for Cosmo Alexander. I went with one of the like pro fighters to Ottawa, and this guy was fighting Cosmo Alexander in Lion Fight. And the whole time, like this is when I was training really consistently. Like I could take 100 kicks to my lead leg and be fine. because he was fighting Cosmo Alexander, he was training to chop down the back leg. So he has like a high, like a very tie stance. So he's heavy on his back leg and he's constantly like bouncing his front foot.
Yeah.
So when I sparred this guy, we were supposed to be 2 days and both days we were supposed to do two sparring sessions. I only got through the first two sessions because he just kept attacking my back leg. And like when you see like somebody, I couldn't take it. Like when you see somebody get dropped from a leg kick, man, yeah. I my leg was injured for so long that I had like a hematoma on my right leg. And what happens is if you don't treat that hematoma, it actually will turn into bone.
Yeah.
It'll actually, your body adapts to it and it turns to bone. So yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy. Right.
Well, thanks, Dylan.
Yeah.
last fan question from, I believe, your buddy, Damien the RMT.
Oh,
he asks, what has been the most challenging thing about growing your brand during the pandemic? So I think, you know, you're a business owner, mm-hmm. a very highly respected business owner. You've done great things, right? So what has been the most challenging thing about growing your brand during this pandemic?
I think the most challenging thing is trying to adapt, right? Like, whether you're adapting in business, whether you're adapting to somebody at home, like your kids being home, homeschooled, whether you're adapting from working from home, all these small things in terms of how we've been really affected by COVID. I think the hardest thing or the most challenging thing is to adapt, like trying to adapt to everything, especially mentally too, right? Like I'm sure you can attest to that, Prince, like you work in that field, like, and what I do in terms of, I guess, therapy, like sometimes I'm not just a physical therapist. I'm also, you know, I'm helping people into like indirectly with their mental therapy, which is a blessing for me, but definitely trying to adapt as a business owner. I've been fortunate enough right now. I'm actually have a partnership with Float Valley on McAllen and then Highway 7. So right now we have a partnership going right now where we're working together. I had a lot of things lined up, honestly, before COVID happened. I was supposed to be doing some stuff with Good Life. I was supposed to be doing some stuff with Sage. I was supposed to open up a second location. But with all these things happening, you just kind of have to just roll with the punches and adapt. And I think actually with Muay Thai and fighting was one of the most beneficial things that I think that helped me the most is, you know, you get punched in the face super hard in the second round. I had both of my teeth crack. I didn't have a proper mouth guard and you just adapt, man. And I think that's how I think I've been fortunate and blessed in that situation to kind of have my life grow in that sense. So definitely that.
Yeah, well, I got a test. I mean, definitely, because Dylan, I mean, whenever he's like treating, when he was treating me, like he was always just asking how you're doing, how's your day been, like, and always knows everything about you and just making sure that you feel okay and, you know, how's life been and always checks in on you. It's not ever a dead session. And it's always just like trying to boost you and, you know, making sure that you elevate, right? And I was hoping that, Dylan, you were going to say that being a business owner, a part of the biggest struggles is that your boy's constantly taking your stuff for free, like your shirts, your hats, like, hey, can I have this? Can I have that?
You know, that's like something that's really hard. And probably you guys probably see it too, right? Like in terms of like starting your own podcast, like, oh man, you guys made sure it's like, let me get one, you know? It's like, okay, like, well, like, you know, I spent this much and this time into going into this product. Like I made hats. And then like my boys are like, oh man, yo, like, let me get one of those hats. Like I've been a loyal customer for like from time. I'm like, man, like I know, but like I didn't just buy these hats just to give them away for free, you know?
Yeah.
But no, that's definitely something for sure, man. And but like you said, like honestly, I do love what I do because I get to meet so many different people and I get to like network with a lot of people. And actually, Tim, you're one of the first people I ever treated and at Pound for Pound. I remember like even before I was registered, like you would help me. I would like treat like help with your back. Like you had like a crazy like back issue. And I remember you would like trust me and be like, oh, like, yeah, Dylan, like I'll let you treat me. And
yeah, of course.
Yeah. So definitely fortunate. And then obviously with Prince, like we have like sometimes we actually have like this guy will tape himself like screaming and yelling while I'm taping him just to like get a reaction out of me. I wish like if you guys can pull that footage up on here, I'll die.
Yeah. No, but Dylan, I mean I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you. You're such a nice guy, right? And you've created this good business.
Thanks,
we wish you all the success in the world. I'm sorry to hear that like the pandemic has delayed or like maybe altered a few things. But definitely with your drive and dedication, good things are ahead for you for sure. All those things will come back in spades.
Right? I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that.
You know, and the question was about the challenges of growing your brand. But I think the question alludes to the fact that you were extremely successful in continuing to grow your brand during the pandemic, right? Like mm-hmm. we're coming out of the pandemic and you're here all set up and ready to go. And I will say that float spa contest, I entered that many times. I've never tried that before, but I will try it. Yeah. And you're okay to stick around. We're going to continue with the podcast. You're okay to stick around with us.
Of course, man. I'm not getting off.
All right. All right. So we want to talk about a few things, but maybe the first thing I'll start with is a quote that I saw online, and I don't know where this came from. I don't know who this person is, but I saw it. And because you spoke about it a little bit with your son and stuff like that, here's a quote. Get your kids training jiu-jitsu, boxing, wrestling, Muay Thai. Please, not only will it prevent them from being bullied, it will prevent them from bullying. Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good quote. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Dylan?
I actually always say is that the first thing I'll put Avery into is not actually Muay Thai. The first thing I'll put Avery into is actually BJJ.
Okay.
The reason why and my perspective on that is because when you're a kid, you're learning how to control your body in space, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And once you learn how to do that, you need to learn how to control your body and use your body against an external external movement, external body, external pressure. When you're a kid, and the earlier I think you learn that, I think the earlier you gain like a lot of senses, like especially like physical touch is like a huge thing, right? And then also mm-hmm. being able to leverage somebody's body weight, whether it's like for basketball and someone's posting up on you, whether it's like, you know, something like that. So definitely BJJ, and especially obviously for bullying, because everyone's like, oh man, like, yo, Dylan, like you fought and whatever. And that, I've lost. Like, I'm not saying like I'm some sort of like I've won, you know, every single fight that I've fought. But everyone thinks like when you go out, like, are you going to go like you're going to like beat people up or whatever? I'm like, no, man, like it's an art at the end of the day, and something that you do that you love. Right. So it's not like you're playing basketball and you go downtown and you see somebody with a ball, you're going to like go and dunk on them or something. You know what I mean?
Definitely
that for sure. BJJ, first thing that Avery's going into is probably BJJ.
Nice. And the thing is that like martial arts, like I like it because it's talking about the fact that martial arts isn't just about being able to protect yourself from bullying, which it does, of course, but it teaches you respect to the point where, like you said, like fighting is not something I now have to do to prove myself, because that I go and I do it. I train in it. So I don't become a bully. I learn respect. I learn about, you know, respecting other people, and I learn about understanding how I can or cannot hurt someone. And so that's a big thing, right?
Yeah. And also knowing that, like, you train in the gym, like you see somebody who looks like, you know, freaking he reads 15 books a day, and then you see him in here and he's ripping people's arms off. Like, you don't want to go downtown or go on the street and just mess with somebody just because of like how they look. Like, you know, first appearance. Like, there's some killers out there, man, and those guys are the most the most humble guys, I feel like, are the most guys you guys don't want, you wouldn't want to mess with.
Yeah.
And you know what? Also, I was a part of it is the discipline too, right? I mean, like, that's the one thing I was surprised no one took you guys. Well, I thought you guys would jump on it. Like, that definitely discipline, because I mean, when you know that you're able to kick someone's head right off, elbow someone's head right off, snap someone's arm right off as you're walking in, it's humbling, and it's crazy, because some of the nicest guys that I know are fighters, like, you know, and they're all in there. They're like, hey, and they'll open. Listen, man, like, I remember, like, even meeting Amin too. He's one of the Muay Thai fighter guys, the trainers over at P4P. And I remember him just like holding the door for me, waiting for me to come.
Nicest,
like,
guy, bro. Nicest guy.
Such a nice guy. And he just holds. Held the door.
If you're watching this, you are a great guy, bro.
Yeah, right. You see, there you go. Dylan even shouts out, right? So, yeah. I mean, I remember just this guy just holding the door for me and just like saying, hey, how, and he's so humble, so quiet. But then I'm like, and then when we walk in, I thought he was just a beginner. I thought, like, oh man, this guy's just another beginner and Muay Thai student as well. Oh, and then, man. And then also he walks in and I'm like, whoa, that's our instructor. And then I all of a sudden I look at my phone, I'm like, yo, this guy's got records. This guy's been cleaning house.
You see a picture of him? He's got like 50 belts on him and shit.
Right.
Actually, you know what's funny? Short, like quick short story. One time I remember I was training super. The only thing I was doing was training. I was training like three times a day. And I went to go visit my cousin in Oakville, and he was going to school up there. At the end of the night, we went to a club, and then after we went to go eat. And I was hanging out with him, and he was in an art school. So the guys that I was hanging with, he was hanging with, like, they were, you know, like guys who are just like, they're harmless, you know, and we're at a Subway ordering food. And there's like these two guys sitting down with their girlfriends, and they're just like making fun of one of my cousin's friends. And the whole time I'm just like, man, once my cousin gets here, we're fighting these guys. So he was in the washroom. He comes out of the washroom. I'm like, yo, Brandon, we're fighting these guys right here. And I said it like loud, and like they're like you guys. I'm like, you guys, you're talking about us? And I was like, yeah. I was like, let's go. I was like, so I walk by them, and as I walk by them, the guy stands up to go outside. I'm walking by them to go outside. The guy sucker punches me right in the face. Sucker punches me right in the face in front of his two girlfriends and his boy. So I just looked at him and I just dropped all my weight into the heaviest leg kick. His leg kick just shifted, and he just like,
wow.
Yeah, his whole body just went to, and then after I was like, hey, let's go outside. Like, come outside. And he wouldn't want to come in. And then all of a sudden, it was actually crazy. A white van pulls up, and these guys come out with like vests, and it was like OPP. And they're like, I don't know if like Subway had a button underneath like the freaking turkey. These guys literally came out of nowhere. And yeah, they were like, what's going on here? And I was like, nothing.
That definitely goes against the quote of not bullying and not being bullied. But we'll edit it out. It'll look fine.
You know, right? Dylan, I thought it was going to be like, right?
But the funny thing is that the guy that I was with was the harmless guy that was being bullied, right? And then those situations, like, obviously now when you see things, like, you see people being bullied all the time. And the first thing people do is take their phone out and record it.
Yeah.
Right. And in this sense, it's like you're always thinking when these things happen, you're like watching these videos and you're seeing 20 people sit down in a Subway just watching this guy get beat up. It's like, why wouldn't you help this person? Like, not even just fight the guy, but just like stand up and hug the dude, or like tell the guy to stop or something.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, say that I was a bully, but like, I'm definitely standing up for somebody.
No, but that's the thing too, though. Like, training in martial arts gives you confidence, not always that you need to do it, but it gives you the confidence to even just be able to stand up and say something, right? Like, when you say that there's all these people pulling out their phone, it's because they essentially have no confidence in themselves to do anything but, right?
If you're training
in martial arts and stuff like that, you definitely have the ability to more stand up and say and feel like, hey, I can say something. Because if something were to go down, I have some confidence in myself that I have some sort of ability, right? So that's something that also it teaches you.
That's true.
Segwaying off the Subway comment, did you guys see the stuff today that was, swear, is that fake? That they were doing tests on the tuna subs in Subway and there is 0% tuna?
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. I
didn't see that, but I can believe that for sure.
they did DNA testing. They couldn't find a single tuna like expression for DNA from it, and they're like trying to figure out what species it is.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we could be sucking on cardboard.
I never get tuna when I go there.
I always get tuna, man.
You get tuna.
I do, because I always figure that's the safest thing.
No, I'm definitely never getting tuna when I go there.
Timmy, that's like going to McDonald's and getting a salad. Like, you got to go and grab the meatball sandwich, or you know what I mean?
Those meatballs are 0% meat, that's for sure. At a Subway, those meatballs are like mushy cardboard. I don't know. What is that?
I go to Firehouse.
Look at you, classy. Dylan, all classy, man.
Firehouse, if you're watching this, you know what I'm saying? Send me an endorsement, dog.
That said, I heard that the ham slices at Subway are like 80% tuna. So maybe it's a mess up. I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh, that joke.
We do know about Subway is that they have a button underneath, and if they want to call,
they got OPP.
Ready to go.
They got Subway security all lined up.
Hey Dylan, you know what? That's what I love about this guy too, Tim, is because the way he tells his story, it's like you're in there. It's like a movie. And Dylan, when we have you back next, we gotta get you to talk about the Philippines one, the Philippines Valkyrie Club. Yeah, I know he's excited. We'll talk about. I'm telling you, he's getting excited. But we will have you talk about that.
See, that was a past life, right? There.
That was, yeah. But that was cool.
Next thing I want to talk about is Woodley versus Jake Paul.
Jake Paul's winning.
Yeah. So they, oh my God. Here's a quote from DC, Daniel Cormier. Tyron Woodley is supposed to beat this kid. It would make people so happy to watch Woodley knock this kid out, drag him into the point where the kid starts to fatigue. But then you just kind of beat on him and break him. But if he doesn't take this thing serious, the kid is going to find a way to win the fight, and it will be the worst thing imaginable.
I already bet one of my clients, or not one of my clients, edit that out. I already bet somebody that that $200 that Jake Paul is gonna win.
Yeah,
I actually think he will win.
That's a tough one, man. Like, here's a quote from Dana White. Oh my God, terrible image. But it does say Tyron Woodley's 40 years old, hasn't won a fight in 3 years. In something he's actually supposed to be good at. Now he's gonna go box.
How you sold that fight? Wow.
Right?
Like, who do you guys think's gonna win?
Prince.
You know what? I mean, my gosh, if I honestly want Woodley to win just to, you know, to save the glory of MMA since Ben lost. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping Woodley will take it, but I mean, just deep down inside, I'm watching these fights. I'm, you know, anything can go. It could be a straight giveaway. It'd be like, hey, you know what? Take an L and then walk into the locker room with a smile on your face. And I just earned me $10 million from fighting a YouTube guy. So I'm hoping Woodley takes it, but again, I wouldn't be surprised if something dumb happens, right? And yeah. I mean, you guys saw what happened with the Mayweather fight, eh? So it was a split decision agreement. So,
Tim, who do you have though? Jake or Tyron Woodley? You got to give me a concrete
answer. I'll give you Woodley. You know, woo-hoo! Woodley.
I'm gonna send you a text with the over under bet.
There's another $200 in Dylan's pocket.
You know what I mean?
We'll do it in pesos, baby, just to commemorate Filipino month. Holla at your boy.
Do you think Askren took a dive, Dylan?
No.
You think he actually got knocked out?
I do. And a lot of people think that Floyd Mayweather took it easy. Like people that I've talked to, and they think like, oh, he took it easy on him. Like, he could have killed him if he really wanted to.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think he... I don't know.
That's what I said, man.
I think he actually was trying to beat him up.
Yeah.
And I really do.
Dylan, you know how many fights I'm on Instagram still? People are still responding to my comments on Instagram.
Man, tag me on it.
Because that's what I'm saying. I say there's no way he wanted to end that fight not standing over the body of Logan Paul.
No.
Like, it's embarrassing to not beat him. And
100%.
People. Yeah.
I agree.
I think Woodley was always one of the guys that was complaining about pay and, you know, that Dana White didn't like him and blah, blah, blah. And he always had these problems. Then he ends up losing a bunch of fights, unfortunately loses a bunch of fights, gets cut. Now he has the chance for the biggest payday in his life. right, to fight this guy. Nobody knows what he's making, but guarantee he's making, you know, many millions of dollars. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is his future payday now. He never has to do anything for the rest of his life after this payday.
Right.
I don't know how motivated he is to win. Right. Like, I don't know how motivated he is. Like Dana White says, hasn't won in 3 years in a sport that he's good at. I don't know that he's going to go in and beat a kid who's been purely training boxing and has all the reason in the world to knock this guy out and win because he wants to continue to elevate his status.
Yeah.
Even he's if Woodley wins.
Yeah. When you put it that way. Yeah. He sounds like he's probably training a lot.
Man, and your boss says that about you. That's brutal, man. Like, yeah.
Technically, it's your ex-boss, though, so they'll say a lot of crap about you, I guess. But, man,
who do you have?
I got Jake Paul by a mile.
You got Jake Paul? Okay, so
by a mile.
Listen, when we find out the results and we find out, say, Woodley takes it, you got to listen to me rant for like an hour and a half, if you guys allow me. You can give me massage therapy too, Dylan, while you're getting that, be like, yeah, told you guys.
But I'm gonna be, once you book that session, I'm like, bloop, canceled.
Hi, Kuya Dylan. I can't log in. I am blocked out of the app. The app is not working.
This is the one and only time where I hope gyms aren't open yet. so Prince can't come in and brag that Woodley won.
Dylan, that's never ever gonna happen. He's losing it for sure. I hate to say it.
Yeah,
I hate to say it, but I don't have any faith in him beating him. Yeah. No way.
Don't think skill wise, even like in terms of like being hungry or anything like that. I just think that Jake Paul's actually pretty skilled as a boxer.
Yeah,
and he's hungry and he's young and he's strong, man. He freaking is a strong kid.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Yeah. And he's training day in, day out because he knows he can just keep calling out these, retired fighters. I'll use the nicest word I can, but calls out these retired UFC big names to go beat him up.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's in like Puerto Rico right now, like training full time or something like that. Somewhere in like Mexico, or he's just like away training right now. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Yeah, just hunger and desire and, right, just wants to build that empire.
But you know what? It's great because even before prior to this fight, they were selling this fight we were already selling it in the locker room. Remember before Ben? Like they were already chirping at each other when Jake was getting his hands wrapped. Woodley was back there just talking smack, and Paul's trainer was going at him too. So you could tell like, whoa, man, this is getting serious. And look what happened. Now we got a fight set up, right?
I know.
Crazy. All right, Dylan. At the end of all of our episodes, we like to do something that we call the fight on site. For all the new viewers that are here because of our wonderful guest, Dylan, we do something called the fight on site where we take two fighters, we put them up in a fantasy fight, we have them compete, we give you our picks now. And on Saturday on our Instagram story, we post it up as a poll and you can come and vote on who you think is the winner. So please do come over and vote. In honor of Dylan, we always try to make the fight on site somehow related to our guest. And because of you, we have the fight on site stylish edition.
Well, actually, you know, before we actually head into the fight on site, I heard, I don't know if it's a rumor, but Dylan, I heard you're an avid shoe collector.
I was.
Okay.
I still do like shoes, though.
Okay.
I have a lot of shoes.
Okay. Yeah. For you, what is like the most exclusive shoes that you have?
I have a lot of the Jordan 1s. A lot of the rare Jordan 1s, yeah.
Like the Raging Bulls and the
Chicago ones. The Bread ones, the Royal ones, all those, yeah.
You know what? So, Dylan, I've always been wanting to show you some of my shoe collection since, you know what, it's always been something that I've been wanting to show you guys because I keep telling Justin, Eric, and the guys at the gym, like, man, you should see my shoe collection. You'll never see these joints. These joints are like hot, Fire.
Oh, these are the ones you're telling me you got from the Philippines.
Yeah. Check this bad boys out. So these ones right here, over here, Dylan, actually, I've just got this right out of the box. I can't even believe I'm having this out because I think the air will actually mess up the actual quality of the shoe. So right here is I've got the Cadillac Fives.
Wow.
Right? Only 40 was made in Canada.
Those look like the Marilyn Manson threes right there.
That's it. It's the Cadillac Fives. And actually, I wanted to show you my second pair of shoes.
Those are actually Cadillac?
Yeah, Cadillac. See Cadillacs, the Cadillac Fives?
That's actually sick.
And you know what? This is actually one of my best shoes on. It's actually DS. It's complete dead stock. So I've got the Communion. It's called the Communion Eights. All right. So if anyone can see it, the Communion Eights, the reason why it's called the Communion Eights is because you're only rocking these bad boys when it's a communion time and then it's 8 p.m. at night, baby boy. Okay.
All right. Well, not to be outdone, Prince, but I brought some shoes to show Dylan as well.
Ooh, the mids. Those are sick.
I got these because I wanted to dress up like Miles Morales for Halloween. And these are the shoes he wears.
Yeah.
Guess how much I ended up paying for these.
How much?
$300.
$10 on Wish, baby.
No way.
Oh, yeah. $10. And I'll tell you, if I zoom in really close, you can't really see it. But you see how there's like a little, like it's a little bit off here?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it came and it actually like had all this extra material. I don't know if that's on purpose so that they don't get sued. But when you get it and then you got to cut it off with a nice trim.
Uh-huh.
$10, baby.
Dang, that's sick.
Well, those are, Ben, if you didn't say that they were from Wish, I could have been like, holy crap, you must have dropped the bank.
One second, guys. I got to show you what's on my feet right now. Are you guys ready to see what's on my feet right now?
Man.
You guys want to know how you know I'm a real dad?
Let's see.
I don't even know if I have the flexibility to do this. I got the sixes right now. If you see me walking with these on, look the other way.
Okay, for Dylan, most of our listeners are actually audio only, so I'm going to have to tell them. Dylan just raised his foot, and he's got white socks and he's got like Dad pretty sandals. Pretty high up, like they are like up like mid shin height socks with black sandals.
They're really like bad. the Nike Burnstocks.
The Nike, yeah. I mean, if you want to like
that was tough.
Oh god, I don't know. Happen to you.
That image of your foot might be the image of the podcast. Like, yeah. I will have to put that as the thumbnail.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm walking, my footprints behind me actually light on fire because these shoes are heat. You know what I mean? That's how. Yeah.
Oh, I went there.
Dylan's really bad. Dylan, the money's changed you, man. The money's changed you. You're different now.
Oh.
You're switching different ways now, man. Look what happened to you, bro.
Tim, have you golfed at Angus Glen?
Yeah.
I went to play Angus Glen yesterday, and I got the ninth round, and I went to go get a sausage, come back, get to my bag, can't find my wallet.
Yeah.
Can't find my wallet. I thought I left my wallet at the range. So I'm calling the girl, I stop golfing, I get into a golf cart, and I go from round one and go through all the holes, and I can't find my wallet. And then I found it last night in my bag. I like ransacked my bag and I found my wallet. And I just wasted a whole round. But yeah, short story.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, let's get to the fight on site.
This is fun.
I mean, look, we're still, even with that whole sock debacle, we're still going to call it the stylish edition because we can't change it now, Dylan.
Yeah,
there's a lot of prep that goes into this.
Okay.
So let me, we're going to move you over, Prince, to the big screen. Well, let's talk about our fighters. And when we do the fight on site, fight in site, fight simulator, we'll do the big screen for you, right?
You got
for
it.
Me? Okay.
No, for Prince, because he does we have a very fancy thing that does stuff. Dylan, okay, you'll be very impressed.
All right.
You're gonna invest in our business.
After. Well, Dylan, you're gonna have. I need your help for the sound effects too. So there you go.
Oh, you can't spoil that.
Okay. All right.
So stylish edition. So again, we're picking two fighters, and this time, this week, the theme is style. So we had to pick two fighters who have a great style to go up against one another. Prince, who wants to go first?
You go first.
All right. My fighter, and Dylan, I always lose. So just so you know. But my fighter, okay, this guy oozes style, and not just like the style that, you know, is in GQ magazine or the style that's like the hot thing. This guy has his own style. He kills it.
I knew it.
Sugar Sean O'Malley. This guy, man, what can you say? What?
Really,
that guy is incredible. His style is so unique, and I mean, I don't know if you did you guys ever see when he was on the Contender Series when he first came out. Did you ever see that? This kid was like this little skinny thin kid, had this giant afro, and this was when in the Contender Series they had Snoop cast. So this was when Uriah Faber and Snoop Dogg were doing commentary. You could pick two loser commentators that were lousy, that were like the normal kind of commentator, or you could listen to Uriah Faber and Snoop Dogg smoke pot and talk crap during all the fights. And Snoop Dogg like loved this kid and was like, well, what was he saying? He's like, O'Malley, O'Malley, oh, get him, O'Malley. And he was like going crazy with this kid because he was so flashy with his spin kicks and whatever. But I don't think at that time the kid was like what he is now. I think he took that, he went with it, went crazy on the style with his like his 60s style glasses, the scarves, the jackets. The guy is crazy cool, man. And when wherever he is, he's got like the different colored hair and whatever. Totally built himself a character. Love this guy. Sean O'Malley is my pick for stylish fighter. Ooh. Fight on site.
All right. I rate it.
Prince.
I rate it.
All right. So I'm going to go next. You know what? Actually, I was surprised if Timmy picked his guy. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. But you know what? I think everybody knows this is the guy who brought style into MMA. Dylan, you already know who I'm going to pick.
I already know.
Let's do it.
Ka-clang! I knew it.
I had to. Guy, listen, I mean, he was the first one who showed up to MMA fully decked out in like a four-piece, three-piece suit. He came in with, I mean, I remember when he first came out, he didn't have the massive gorilla tattoo on his chest. And he all of a sudden, he showed up with it and everyone's like, holy crap. And now everyone's like, yo, do you see that guy with the huge tattoo in his chest? And then like, even when they were building, the EA was making his avatar for the game. Like his was always the ones at the front because it was so like, you know, you could pick it out of all the fighters, right? So So
for the listeners, his pick is Conor McGregor.
Yes. So Conor McGregor is my guy, Notorious. So I'm picking him just because, you know, everybody knows, you know, he comes in with the swag, with the suits, with the high end brand names, the Gucci, the Louis. He came in like leather snake pants one time. Yeah. So I don't know what else to tell you. And everybody's been trying to follow suit, right? So my guy's Conor McGregor. Everybody knows.
So what we're going to do now, Dylan, is we're going to put our fighters into the Fight Insight, Fight On Site, Fight Simulator machine. It helps us generate a winner. So get ready for this, Dylan. You're going to be, I mean, woof.
I'm excited.
Mode of Operation Therapy is going to wish they had something like this in their lives. Here we go.
All right. So we're putting it all the information into the data bank right now, Dylan. Okay. So we're putting it in. Now it's going to produce us an avatar for each of our fighters. And for Sean O'Malley, we've got Krank, Deadpool.
Oh, Deadpool on a unicorn. That is a nice one. Where'd you get that?
Yo, listen, man. I actually was trying to. I was supposed to prep for this a little earlier. I actually found this on the floor, so I picked it up with my feet. There you go.
I was gonna ask for it, but since you said you picked it up with your feet, you can have it.
Yeah, I can sanitize it. I'll bring it to you next day. Give it to Avery. I'm good.
Just don't bring it covered in hair.
Too late.
And for Conor McGregor, we've got.
This is the same guy you used last week.
I know, but I'm always getting the dub, so I might as well use him again.
Doctor Strange. It's a nice Doctor Strange sticker. All right. So we've got Doctor Strange as Conor McGregor. We've got Deadpool on a unicorn as Sugar Sean O'Malley.
All right.
Dylan, this is, you got to wake up, Dylan. This all is right. where we need you here. this is almost over, Dylan. It's almost over. What we need you to do, Prince, tell him what you need him to do here.
Dylan, now I'm going to need you to throw in the sound effects just because our speakers aren't working in the Fight On Site simulator. I need you to put in the side effects. Let's go. Let's go. So
bang, boom, bang. Ouch, ouch.
Oh, yeah.
Conor McGregor. Wow.
Conor McGregor.
Dylan, I wasn't expecting that simulator, guys. That was a little bit much for me.
Dylan, my nose is bleeding.
Yeah, my internet just went out.
Your graphics card may not have been able to handle that, Dylan. That's why most of our listeners are on Spotify. But Dylan, that's our Fight On Site. Before we go, I'm just going to give a shout out, guys. We talked about it last week. Our friend and former guest Robbie Moss is in the contest on Muscle and Fitness. The link is in our YouTube. Go search him out. I know you're already following Robbie as a former guest of ours. Go check him out and vote for him every day so that he can win and become Mr. Muscle and Fitness, something like that.
Yeah. Vote for him. Vote for Robbie.
Every day you got to vote. Next week, Prince, do we want to announce our guest for next week?
All right. So next week, guys, we have a really good friend of ours, one of our boys over at Islas Restaurant, Mark. And he's also going to be bringing along a friend of his to talk about Filipino martial arts, just to commemorate Filipino National Day and National Month, actually, the month of June. We're going to be talking about FMA, Filipino martial arts, the history, like how much it's evolved, and also just getting a little background on it as well. And so this is something that I wanted to share with our viewers and our listeners, just to, you know, just to get to know more of our culture, right? And so... Dylan, you got to tune in, and it's actually going to be pretty cool. Some of the information that this guy's told me about our own martial arts, I was surprised, and I'm surprised, you know, like it's not for open to public, and like not a lot of people know about it, right? So there you go.
Yeah, one of the very first martial arts I ever learned was Eskrima with the Cali sticks, which has its basis in Philippines. So pretty cool, man. I'm excited to talk to him. There's another fight that's coming up this weekend that I wanted to talk about on Saturday, BKFC, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. There's a big fight between sweetheart Carissa Sagano versus Pearl Gonzalez, formerly of the UFC. Carissa Sagano, she had an amazing first fight in the BKFC, and she is someone that we're talking to about coming on our podcast as a guest. So give her all the support and love you can. Follow her and cheer for her on Saturday to get a huge win. We're very excited for her. So good luck to Carissa. Dylan, we had an amazing time with you, buddy. I'm so glad that you came.
I miss you guys. You too, Dylan, man.
Oh, man. Dylan is the best, man. Guys, Dylan, before you go, is there anything that you want to say or any plugs that you want to give? Anything you want to promote?
Before I say, just want to give a shout out to my son, Avery. Shout out to the whole MO gang, Damien, everybody. And actually, I want to say I'm working on something right now. So something really, really big. I'm taking a huge, huge risk and putting a lot of chips on myself. And hopefully by September, you guys will be able to be able to see that. But something really big. Yeah, for sure.
You're not going to tell us?
My internet.
His internet's freezing.
Connections, guys.
Dylan, will you come back on then and talk about it when you do have it out?
For sure. 100%. Yeah, awesome. This is my first podcast I've ever done. I had a really good time. Yeah.
Nice, man. Well, Dylan, please, we'll post all about this. We generally post on our Instagram, you know, giving people heads up that you're coming on, and we post about it as we go. So please do share it with your friends, share it with your family.
100%.
You know, guys, we really appreciate Dylan coming on. He's a great guest. He's a great massage therapist. He's a great trainer. So whichever way you want to do, follow him. We'll put all his links up for Dylan so that you can find him. But and if you have experience with Dylan and stuff like that, leave some comments. Tell us how much you love him. That'd be awesome. Prince, you want to just remind people where they can find us before we go?
All right, guys, listen, you can follow us at Fight Inside Podcast at YouTube. You guys can follow us all. I mean, subscribe at Fight Inside Podcast. You can follow us at Instagram, Fight Inside Podcast. You can listen to us at Spotify, Fight Inside Podcast. Woo! And I mean, again, we also are at TikTok, Snapchat, Twitter, you name it, we're there. Follow us, listen to us, because you know who's the best MMA podcast in all of Toronto, Canada.
You got
that's
it.
All right, guys, have a good one. Thank you, Dylan. Thank you so much, buddy.
See you guys.
Bye, guys. Take care.
See you, Prince.